who are not only doing things, but people who are really bringing about change in our society. One cannot talk about it at all unless one mentions the name, the Reverend Jim Jones. Jim Jones, who is the pastor of the People's Temple Christian Church, is charismatic, is unique, is serious about what he's doing, is an excellent spokesman, a great articulator. What else can I say about you, Jim Jones, except the fact that I'm delighted that you are on our show today.
Thank you very much, Cecil.
And we're going to be talking to this man and what he's about as soon as we come back.
People tell me I just happen to look pretty good in eyeglasses.
You're going to have a big problem?
You know, I really don't sit and talk with personalities on a one-to-one basis that often, but when I do, I try to bring to you, the viewers, the very most important people in regards to this kind of thing. And I brought to you a minister. And you know, that's something that's very difficult for me to do unless he's a unique minister, and here he is. Here's the man today. Jim, I'm amazed by you. I really many times can't find words because you are sometimes indescribable. You're a very important person, a very powerful person. You are a prophet in his time and ahead of his time too. Jim, how did you come about doing what you're doing, starting what you're starting, moving in the direction that you're moving in?
Saw the need, I guess, and responding to it the best I could. It always seems insignificant, Cecil, compared to the vast needs around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got started, just looking at the needs.
And when he talks about looking at the needs, you've, of course, related to a lot of needs, not only in Northern California and in the state of California, but needs throughout the country, as well as needs throughout the world. We're going to be talking about some of those needs, but let's focus in on it. Why did you go in the direction you're going? Why did you say, look, we got to meet some needs and go about getting at those needs?
Which direction? I feel like I'm a jack of all trades sometimes, a master of none. Which direction?
All right. Let's just talk about one in particular, Jim. One has to do with the fact that, first of all, one of the things that you do is when it comes to issues, and especially when it comes to defending people, who have to face injustices, you are always there, one way or the other. I think about, for instance, the situation in regards to the communications industry, the press.
Well, I thought Nixon was coming down severely upon the press, and of course, without the Fourth and Fifth Estate, where are we? As exposed, certainly as clarified very clearly in the Watergate situation, and we were concerned about the repression that this represented, so we felt that we had to get out there and represent different newsmen who were under attack because of their sources. And I guess our support funding spread all over the United States, FAR first, and then Fresno B, and then we gave monies to various news associations. We're very concerned about a free press.
Some even here in the Bay Area.
Oh, yes, yes.
In regards to the free press, what were you really trying to say? That it should take place, that in fact, any information that press feels that it must keep confidential, it should be given that right and that privilege to do so.
It has to, because of the intimidations that we've seen in such instances as Watergate. The press has to be able to keep their sources, and I felt that our whole democratic fabric was being threatened, not only myself, but our congregation here of 8,000. It wasn't something unique to me. We are very much concerned that the press has the right to monitor society and be able to regulate excesses or help to bring conscience to the community. We just felt there was nothing left for us to do. We had to respond because it seemed that Mr. Nixon was on a tirade against the press.
And yet there are times, Jim, that you and I and others are approached by the press and they do disservice to us. Some. Every once in a while, you know, we get into, we are misquoted, we are taken out of context and that kind of thing. How do we deal with that kind of thing, you know, when it happens to you? Because you often in the press, you often quoted, you often talked about.
I don't know what rum can do. I guess we have to take our chances for the negative aspects in order to allow the press to be free. We have to take the chance that there'll be a few that will practice yellow journalism, and I think there are a few. You and I know one of us both. So I don't get too much worried about it, as long as they print my, as the old saying, they can print my name right in the paper. But we have to take the chance for the excess. I think it hurts when press is not responsible. I've seen that in your case, and on one case I've seen it with myself. But still, the press is the bulwark of democracy.
Jim, you've taken a chance. You've taken a chance because you've got all kinds of people in the People's Temple Christian Church. How far does your constituency extend? In how many places?
Well, we have 8,000 in San Francisco. Then we have a church that I found. We're all related with the Disciples of Christ, which
right.
is a 2 million denomination. And then I have 10,000 members in our Los Angeles parish. I don't know the breakdown in Fresno and Bakersfield and Sacramento, but it's pretty sizable. Then Redwood Valley, California, we have a pretty sizable congregation up north around the Ukiah area.
Why did you begin to work with various racial and ethnic groups, trying to bring them together?
It seems to me that, of course, it's just right that we be together. And I thought, of all places, if Jesus Christ did not teach inclusiveness, He said we were our brother's keeper, and God is no respecter of persons. And certainly, I believe in a voluntary type of approach to social problems. I'm somewhat Jeffersonian that the government that governs least governs best. And if the church doesn't take its responsibility, where are we? Seems to me that the church had to initiate responsibility here.
Well, you've taken a great deal of responsibility. For instance, let's talk just a little bit about some of the things that you engaged in regards to the treatment of people. One in particular, drug addicts, people that are strung out on dope, things like that. What do you do, Jim? What have you come up on in regards to that kind of issue? How do you get at that kind of issue with people?
In our situation, we bring them into our homes. I've had many, my wife and I have had many in our home. Even though we have 7 adopted children, we've never had an issue with one person that we've taken in to attempt to rehabilitate. Love is lacking so often, alienation, and just a little bit of love. You don't have to have a great deal of professional skill. Our recidivism rate is very low on heroin, for instance. But the savvy, the professional know-how, I don't think we have so much in that area. We have some psychologists working with us. But I say the great achievement's been made by the nuclear family, where someone will just take someone into their home. Of course, those few days of withdrawal, we have facilities, and we go through that, and that's a hell indescribable.
Yeah. Withdrawal, I guess, is a very difficult
terrible.
Thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's terrible.
It takes you a lot of your time, too, doesn't it?
Great deal.
Jim, you got involved in one particular case of a black young woman.
Ray Ducker.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about her and about what happened.
Well, she was an amazing person. She came hooked on a habit of about $400 a day. And of course, she was involved in every type of crime that she could possibly get into to maintain that habit. And as she went along, of course, it was no time, but she completely rehabilitated herself. And I think a lot of that, I have to give the emphasis on the individual. We gave her support and acceptance, and she had a very prestigious job. But we found out later that she had actually left probation. She had been a fugitive from two different sentences. And when she brought this to our attention, the church decided, well, we're going to get in there and fight to straighten up her record. And we were able to achieve that by solidarity and appealing to the probation department. And the judge was most sympathetic. He allowed her probation to continue. And I think it's going to be finished about May 7th, I believe.
You know, I'm just going to move along with you here because we got so much to cover. Jim, let's talk about other people that you've given support, other causes that you've given support. For instance, Angela Davis. You did support her.
Early.
Why did you feel that you had to support Angela Davis?
I believe that when one person's rights are affected, everyone is. We supported a John Bircher on one occasion. It seemed to me that Angela was the victim of political oppression. I don't care whether she's a communist or she's a member of the Nazi Party. I believe in the First Amendment rights. I think that's very essential. Was it Pastor Nyman said, when they came for the communists, I did nothing because I wasn't a communist. They came for the Jews, and I had typical Protestant prejudices, and I didn't react. When they came to the Catholics and the trade union, the same type of response. When they got around to coming after me, there was nobody left to defend him. And I think there's enlightened self-interest. I don't believe we can restrict anyone's right of freedom of speech.
Well, you know, now that puts you in a category of being, you know, you could easily be called a communist just by supporting the rights of a communist.
I don't know what they call me. I don't really care.
Jim, you've been involved in a more recent defense and standing up for a person, namely Dennis Banks. Now, before we get into that, I just got a sign from the man who says, take a break. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk to Jim Jones about Dennis Banks at this particular time.
Oh, sit down, son. Listen to my jury speech. Members...
Dad, your breath of welcome.
Bad?
Try Scope. It works.
Well, I'll use my mouthwash.
Here now. Members of the jury... smell medicine-y. You didn't use Scope.
But my mouthwash fights bad breath.
Scope fights bad breath, too. But your breath smells minty fresh, not medicine-y.
Ah! Scope's a great defense.
Scope fights bad breath. Scope doesn't give medicine breath.
There's something important just happened to save you money on the pool you always wanted. I'm Ed Reimers for Sunset Pools, and that something is a breakthrough in pool heating. It's the new low-cost Burke solar heater, now available exclusively with a Sunset Pool. It's the latest development for using the sun's energy to heat a pool. Today, Sunset Pools can save you money with down-to-earth prices and solar heating. Call Sunset Pools for facts and get this photocube electric clock free, just for listening.
We're talking to Jim Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones from the People's Temple Christian Church. Vast number of people that he's brought together of all colors, all ethnic backgrounds, all socioeconomic levels. Jim, you have been working very hard to guarantee at least Dennis some equity in regards to what he's going through as it relates to his extradition. What are you doing in regards to Dennis Banks at this point? What have you done? I read a very fascinating story not too long ago about something that you did in bringing his family and other things. Tell us about that.
His wife, Kamuk, you know, was arrested in another state and suffered a great deal of maltreatment. Her baby was born behind bars. They named her Arm to a Woman. And she wasn't even allowed the normal process of her breast to be, for the milk to be taken care of, so that she developed infections. And she'd been there for 4 months. We felt as a congregation, we had to respond. Dennis Banks is a good man. We've helped a lot of people, Cecil. And when they get their help, they're gone. But the moment we helped this man, I think we raised $20,000 for the bond for her. He came back time and time again, responding with such graciousness and warmth and compassion. He wept before a congregation of several thousand, and it was really spontaneous. This is a good man. I think Skirmerhorn said of the examiner that all of his witnesses and even his counsel had been intimidated back in the state where he had come from. And even the Iowa Methodist Conference put up his bond, and they said he had no other choice but to leave because there was even threats put out on every one of his witnesses. Mm. And most people have the feeling, and one of the district attorneys said that if he comes back, the best resolution for the Indian movement is a bullet in Dennis Banks's head. Mm. We have to face the fact that the one that was arrested with him, Annie, I've forgotten her last name, they said she died of exposure, but there was pressure brought to bear, and she was exhumed, and they found the bullet at close range. And it looks pretty much like a conspiracy.
See, that's why you're so important, because you get out there when the water is rough. You see, you get out there when the wind is blowing in very strong, currents against people. And you, in many ways, and the people that you work with, help change that current and that tide. in regards to the lives of people. I want to deal with that in just a few minutes, but I want to get at some. You did something in the Tenderloin area for the senior citizens. They were about to lose protection, you know. What happened in that situation? That's my area now. You know, that's where I'm located, and yet you come down there. Getting in on the problems that we face down there.
We get in the problems everywhere, so we can help you out a little bit.
Thank you.
And this situation touched us. Here was an interracial group of ex-Vietnam veterans who had a warm relationship, a deeply warm family relationship with predominantly white citizens who had no love in their life, couldn't even get someone to give them some groceries. And out of their salary, their meager salaries, they were helping support these senior citizens in that area.
Sure.
And so again, the church felt that they should respond. The program was about to go down the tubes, and we came up with the $6,000 that tied them over until they got funded. Now they're funded, and I'm very happy that that was one of the successes.
There's another thing I want to say to our viewers today also, is that on November 30th last year, when I had sort of like a culmination of my 10 years in San Francisco, and we called it the Change Agents Coming Together, Celebration for Change. At that particular time, the Center for Self-Determination, a new program that we began at Glide, had a benefit. And it was Jim Jones who brought 1,500 people to that benefit, who bought tickets. Close to $6,000 worth of tickets to that benefit. It was this man who, and his people, that did that. Jim, let's go on. I want to publicly say that to the people about what you've done for me too, my man. But not only there, just being a brother and being a close friend where we can talk with each other.
Well, I wasn't doing it for you personally, see, so I think the community has to realize that if they are concerned about tyranny, communistic or fascistic, they better support groups such as yourself that get involved in everything and show the people that feel alienated that they have a chance to work within society. So it wasn't just a personal friendship. We approve of the things you're doing.
Thank you, my man. Thank you. Let's talk about something that you've got going in other countries. South America, for instance.
Yes.
You've got quite a resourceful relationship and some very fascinating things taking place down there. What are you engaged in there?
We have an agricultural mission there on several thousand acres that have been granted us, and we've acquired from the Republic of Guyana. And we've been, for instance, last week we brought in 60,000 pounds of yams. That goes a long way to help with the poverty. Plus, it's not a paternalistic type of Christian mission. We give employment to about 200 people.
Yeah.
And again, that helps to alter the ugly American image.
Sure.
And combat the forces of tyranny right or left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of response certainly means a lot, I'm sure. Where you say, you know, it's important to give jobs to people. It's not a paternalistic kind of response mm-hmm. relationship. Mm-hmm. But you see, that's the way you are. You do that constantly. You've made your stand. You keep making your stand. You will continue to make your stand. You know, the interesting thing about this man is the fact that that you have a lot of resources in regards to taking care of not only people, but animals. What do you do there, Jim? Why did you get interested in animals, man?
Well, it's subjective. I'm very sensitive about animals. But I think sensitivity to life, there's some sort of correlation. I wouldn't want to generalize. But I've noticed people who are hardened to animals, often it carries over and they're hardened to humans. Of course, you have strange contradictions where someone will give all sorts of regard as Adolf Hitler did for his animal and had no regard for human beings. But we feel that you have to have sensitivity for the total life. And we're concerned that we take in as many animals as we can and neuter them. There's a terrible overpopulation and such cruel treatment. I'm sure you're familiar with the way they're exterminating. Some of them are crowded into a gas chamber meant for one to throw 16, 17 dogs in this kind of a situation. We're just opposed to cruelty. We like to help wherever there's need, and there's a great need with animals. And so we find ourselves in every facet of life. We have geriatric homes. We have a children's home for retarded children, for retarded youngsters. And we have a free legal services, a medical examination facility under doctor's auspices, physical therapists, and nurse practitioners and RNs. Particularly senior citizens
in the lower socioeconomic income level, they have a time with arthritis, and we're equipped with diathermy, ultrasonic treatment that we can
do. You treat everybody?
Oh, yes. Anybody that
you can. Wouldn't hold back on anybody?
No, there's no membership requirement.
Mm-hmm. No. They don't have to become members, nor do they have to start following some kind of discipline that put on their heads.
I don't believe in this business having to say a prayer before you get out.
Yeah, right. That's what I was getting at. You called it. Exactly. Jim, you do have a great ministry. One thing that's involved in it has to do with something that you and I call a healing ministry, both of us. And a lot of people talk about the healing ministry. I had a sister who had cancer 12 years ago. She was operated on. The doctors gave her up, said in 3 months she would die. My sister is still alive, teaching school, back to health. It was cancer of the pancreas, by the way. Very serious thing.
Considered incurable.
Considered incurable. She's fine today. She had a lot of faith. She said, I will not give up at this point. Talk a little about that.
There's a place indeed for responsible and sane spiritual healing. It must be in conjunction with medical science because we know there's no panacea. We've had similar remissions. I was just thinking while you talked of a lovely Russian lady the metastasis of cancer was so thorough that each of her lymph glands were swollen like a ball. And similarly, she had faith. Give purpose. There's a tremendous dimension that we're unfamiliar with. And of course, if even the Soviet Union, a materialistic nation supposedly, is spending, $12 million a year or something like that to study paranormal faculty, therapeutic healing, many medical scientists now, nursing schools, medical schools, are emphasizing therapeutic healing, the laying on of hands in direct correlation with physical treatment. So undoubtedly there's a dimension there that the responsible church must take over. And if we don't, what are we going to leave it to? The type that says, trust God and don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So many of the people involved in healing want to knock medical science, and many then die. I think they do far more harm than good because they'll keep people from going to medical science. When we find someone that thinks they have a healing, we say, get to the doctor and verify it.
Good. We've got to take a break, and we'll come right back and conclude our program with the Reverend Jim Jones. Jim Jones, Jim, where do you get your money from? How do the people, how do you maintain all these, these great programs that you're part of, that you give leadership to? How do you maintain it?
People are pretty generous when they see how their money's being used. They see definite results.
Yeah.
You got a community center, an indoor swimming pool, and all these rest. I think we have a novel thing in geriatric facilities where the senior citizens themselves manage and direct. The only input is the manual labor. We don't dictate to them what about their diet, the decor, everything. When I see results, people give generously. We don't have a mandate about tithing, some do, but of course we have a large membership, and that explains the support. And they'll put on projects of various sorts. We get no outside help from the community to speak of, but our people are very, very generous.
Jim, where are we going to go? Where are we going?
In terms of
society, of America, of the world, where are we going to go? Can you give it to me in 30 seconds?
I think we have to be very careful that we must do something about the alienation of the ethnic groups and racism. As even Roy Wilkins, a conservative in the Senate that just retired, we've got a problem, and we've got to overcome that because a house divided against itself can't stand. We must do something about racism quickly.
Here's a man, I have to tell you, that I think I'm being honest, I think he's a genius, I think he's a prophet, he's charismatic, he's one of our great leaders. I'm glad to be associated with you. Brother, we're going to stay together, because I know if I stay with you, we're going to make it. We'll bring about justice. Walk that walk and that talk, and be that be, and love that love, and struggle that struggle. Look for us. We'll be there.
Look at these bins.